Hi everyone, this is Kim McLaughlin. Welcome to week 4 in our 8-week group on emotional eating solutions. This is, I always say this and I feel kind of strange, but this is a really important week, important stuff that we're going to talk about. So I'm glad you're here. If you're on the line, welcome. If you're listening to the callback, welcome. We're getting deeper and deeper into some really important stuff. So I just want to kind of reflect back on where we are. And we are at, what have we done already? We have talked about, I just kind of give you a grounding where we're at. We at first talked about ditching the diet. Kind of a strange phrase. I might have to think of a different phrase, but kind of really giving up dieting or looking at the idea that dieting doesn't work, that the idea of restricting food actually makes us want it more. So that's still important, and I think it's helpful to keep considering it because I have people coming on all the time that I talk to that are in various points of restricting food. And what we know is that for those of us who binge eat, I'm going to put you guys on Q&A for a moment. And if you need to raise your hand, it's *6. So I'm going to put you on Q&A mode. So what we know is that when we feel restricting, when we feel like we can't have stuff, I can't, what happens is if you look at it as a circle, the top of the circle is this idea that I have to restrict. I can't have something, I can't. And I always say a diet is an eye of the beholder. A diet is really kind of what you make of it because a diet really is supposed to be an eating plan. But we're talking about something that's restrictive. So that's really the thing to consider is, are you doing something? Am I doing something that feels restricting? And sometimes we don't know that it's restricting until later on. And sometimes we don't know it's happening until after we find that we binge later on and we realize that we actually were restricting. But so if you have a circle, top of the circle is the restricting, the diet mentality. I can't have that. Then if you move around the circle, what happens is the more we restrict, at some point in time we binge. At some point in time, when we say, I can't have that food, we finally say, forget it. I'm just going to have it. And if I'm going to have it, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it big time. So if you have that coming on where you say, I'm going to go for it, I'm just going to go for it big time, really consider that there, if you didn't already notice it, that there might have been a diet, some diet mentality, some restricting going on beforehand in that circle that's leading you to feel like binging. So it's something to look at. Remember, we're always in detective mode, kind of looking and seeing what fits, what doesn't, and what am I doing and what does it mean for me? So when we go around, so at the top of the circle is the diet restricting food. And then, you know, as you move around that circle, you go into the binge, and then you move around the circle, and then you go into feeling guilty and ashamed and resentful. And then as we feel guilty, shame, resentful, we feel bad about ourselves, and ultimately, again, we get into that cycle again of, I just need to stop overeating, or I need to stop eating this certain kind of food. I can't do that. I can't have things. And we go around and around in that circle. So just consider that. The kind of giving up that restriction of food is a coming to. I don't know that we get there kind of in, I've never known of anybody who gets there just quickly and immediately. It's more just we kind of contemplate it. And I've done that for myself. There have been points in time where I will kind of say, yeah, sugar's not good for me right now. I'm just not going to have it. And sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. And what I notice is when I say I can't have it, that's the clue. that something's going on for me and that I'm being in more of a restricting mode. When I move into the mindset of I choose not to, that's when I can say, sugar, no big deal. I just choose not to. I just choose not to. And it really is that kind of a casual of a conversation. And that's when things rock and roll, because I'm just in the flow and I choose food or not choose food based on how I'm feeling, or I'm sorry, how my body's feeling, how hungry am I, what would really satisfy me, and then I move on. And the other thing that giving up that idea of restriction or dieting, what that also can do for you, and I'm going to just keep saying it over and over again because it just takes time to get it, is that you can get scared. If I don't go on this diet, if I don't stop eating these certain kinds of food, I'm going to gain weight, and I'm going to gain a lot of weight. And we get really scared that we're going to gain, 10 pounds, 50 pounds, whatever it is, whatever is your fear moment, you're going to feel afraid that you're going to gain weight. And what happens is that, if you give yourself more permission to eat what nourishes your body, you're going to have less, you're going to engage in eating the things that don't nourish your body less. And that's just how it goes. So people will say, if I'm not restricting, then that means I can eat whatever I want. It's like, well, yeah, you can eat whatever you want. And they'll say, but I'm afraid, Kim, I'm just going to eat. If I can eat whatever I want, I'll never stop. And I'll say, no, it's not true. You will. You won't feel good. So you can have this thing of, I remember learning this a long time ago, and I put it to the test. So I learned a long time ago that, to not restrict food and to eat what you want. Eat when you're hungry, eat till you're full. And I decided that I was going to allow myself to eat cookie dough. And that might sound gross, but, it's one of my little guilty pleasures. And I ate it. And I ate it one evening for dinner. And I got to tell you, I remember I didn't feel good afterwards. And so, yeah, I can eat it, but it doesn't make me feel good. And do I do it anymore? No, it doesn't. It just doesn't feel good for me. So what happened was, is it's through walking through that process of saying, I can have it, but at this point, I can have it, I just don't want it. I know it won't make me feel good. It won't give me the energy that I want. And so it's just a non-issue. But that's the thing to kind of consider, is that it's a coming to in terms of figuring out what works and what doesn't work for your body. So that's the diet, what we did the very first week. The second thing we did that we talked about was noticing our body, and we learned about the four different types of hunger: physical, emotional, mental, and mouth hunger. And what we looked at a lot at that day was the physical hunger and really noticing, am I physically hungry? How does my body feel when I'm hungry? How does my body feel when I'm too hungry? What happens when I'm too hungry? What do I feel like when I'm full? And what do I feel like when I'm overfull? And those are important concepts or kind of understandings to have about your body and what it means to really get in touch with that physical hunger. And that's what I really advocate towards. And I can tell you now that whole cookie dough thing, which is kind of a ridiculous story, but it's just an example that comes to me that's really actually really true, is that if that's something that I want, I have to really consider, if I ever think about having it, what's my physical hunger like, and why would I want that? Like, is that really going to satisfy my physical hunger? And no, it's not. And if I'm craving that, or if anything comes up like that, it's really about the emotional hunger. So when I get in touch with what's physically necessary for my body, I choose foods that are good for me. I just do. I will choose a salad over a whatever other thing, it's kind of a sweet thing, because I know I have enough experience now that it makes my body feel good. It really does. So that is when I choose to eat things that to satisfy my physical hunger in a way that really satisfies it. And then moving on, last week we talked about emotional hunger. And that's where what I notice is that when I'm craving that real sweet stuff or those things that just really don't serve my body as well, I find that it's a lot of, most of the time, it's an emotional reason that I'm craving it. And then that can be the time I can ask myself, so what's up, Kim, that you're craving this food that you don't normally have, this food that's sometimes like kind of like a non-food, and what's going on emotionally with me that's leading me to eat? What's going on for me emotionally that's making me think I want to have this certain kind of food that I don't normally have? And then I can check in with myself. And then it gives me a little of a buffer between the emotion and the thought of having that certain food and actually having that certain food. And that's where noticing our emotions, noticing what emotions are making us overeat, or noticing when we overeat, track back and go, what was that hunger all about, and was it emotional hunger? So that's where we've come from and where the things that we have looked at over these. I'm sorry, I turned off the recording for a second. I chose the wrong button. So it went off for just a second. Let me ask you, anybody on the call and anybody who's listening, think about it for yourself. So anybody who wants to talk on the call can talk, and anybody who's listening to it afterwards, just kind of think about, have you been noticing any feelings that are leading you to overeat, or kind of any emotional stuff that's been coming up? Because when we talk about all these things about food and hunger and fullness and diet and emotional eating, things can come up that you don't always expect. So I wanted to know, anybody on the call have anything that's been coming up for them that they want to share with the group?
Well, this is Georgiana.
Yeah.
It's actually the other way around. So, you know, last week on the call I shared just kind of the complete whole that I can get into. But interestingly enough, you know, when I start to, things start to move in a direction that I want them to move, you know, I started to take actions. You know, like working out, I went to the gym and, you know, started doing those things. I doing some anti-inflammatory diet. I hate to call it a diet, but whatever.
Diet's a way of eating. Yeah, I get you. It's kind of like it's a strange thing, but like it's a way of eating that, you know, and we can choose different ways of eating that serves our body. And anti-inflammatory is one really good way of eating. So I get it. Yeah.
But, and I notice when I'm taking those kinds of actions, everything seems to feel a little bit better. So it's kind of like this vicious circle I can get on, where I get myself empowered if I'm doing the things that I know to do. And then even in the face of other circumstances I have, you know, that aren't so good, then I feel a lot more empowered. And when those circumstances come up. So, it's instead of fuel for the fire when things aren't going well, then I'm not eating well and I'm not exercising, then I can turn into a total loser. So it's interesting to see just how much power I give to it, I guess. That's actually interesting.
Yeah, so you're giving the power to it being in your interest and not being it can work for you for the positive, and it can work for you for the negative.
Yeah.
Kind of whichever power you give it, right?
Yeah, just how impactful it is on me, whether I'm eating well or not eating well.
So eating well impacts you in a positive way that actually kind of catapults you to do other things.
Yeah. Totally.
Do you find any of the anti-inflammatory diets, does any of that feel restricting to you?
A little bit, yeah.
Uh-huh. What are you doing with that? Those thoughts when they come up, like the I can't kind of things, or if it comes up in another way, what are you doing with that?
I just tell myself, you know, what the food is doing for me and for my body.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's making me feel.
Mm-hmm. So you're really just rethinking it and saying, you know, this is actually what it does for me, and that's how I want to treat myself.
Yeah, and it's kind of like what you said when sugar comes up. You know, I can have sugar, but I'm
right.
just choosing not to because it doesn't make me feel good. That's kind of been what I've been doing. It's just been a couple of days now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the food's not horrible, but it's, you know, it's I'm in a cleanse mode right now, so...
Yeah.
It'll change, but.
Right,
yeah.
And I think, I do that kind of stuff. I've never done anti-inflammatory, but I've done other kind of eating plans in so much as trying to figure out what foods work for my body and what don't. And it's not about, for me and for others that I work with, when it's not about restricting, it's about I'm being the detective and I'm trying to figure out what works for me and what doesn't work for me. It gives me a heck of a lot of information that I can use as I move forward. And so
right.
I don't know if I've ever told you guys, I do that. I have a friend who she is off sugar, and that what happens is that whenever she has sugar, her thumb gets inflamed and she can't move her thumb, and it's only sugar. And so when she's off of sugar, her fingers work really well. But when she has something sugary, her thumb gets inflamed. And what she talks about is like, you know, it was only through the process of giving up the sugar that she realized how it affected her body. And then she can make a decision like, well, I choose to have it tonight, but I know tomorrow my thumb's not going to work real well. So I got to, you know, kind of take that into consideration. And it was really interesting to me because, you know, it's just trying different patterns of eating to see what works for you. And that's what I hear you're doing.
Yeah.
That sounds really
yes.
good. And I love the word empowered. You said, I get empowered. I heard you say, I get empowered when I do the things that work for me.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like I'm being the person that I want to be.
Oh, yeah. I'm being the person that I want to be. That's really, once again, a powerful statement. Cool. Well, thanks for sharing. Anybody else on the line want to share? Okay. Let's move on. I want us to, today what we're going to do is, so the teaching stuff, I'm going to put us on Q&A right now, Q&A mode, because I'm going to do a little teaching stuff. And this is, okay, so I'm going to put us on Q&A mode. Put star 6 if anybody wants to talk. So where we're moving in now is we're moving from the emotional side of eating to now we're talking about the thoughts. And these are the thoughts that lead us to overeat. And this is kind of, we're kind of taking it deeper. Everything that we're doing is kind of in layers and layers and layers. And so today we're going to talk about the thoughts and how the thoughts affect us. So what I wanted to start with first was a technique that I really like that just gets us in the mindset of the mind. So if you'll just bear with me, it's going to be actually be pretty short. But I want you to just take a deep breath. If you're driving, don't close your eyes or anything. But if you're so inclined to just put your feet on the floor, take a deep breath, put your hands where they feel comfortable, close your eyes if it feels comfortable, but just begin to get in touch with your body. And what I want you to start noticing is as you're sitting there, getting in touch with your body, are there any thoughts that are coming up? Are there any things that you start thinking of in our future plans that are coming up for you? But just kind of start noticing what's going on in your head. And I want you to just sit there and take a deep breath and notice what happens to those thoughts if you take a deep breath, go in and out through your nose, or you can do it in through your nose and out through your mouth. In through your nose, out through your mouth. And actually what you can do in your head is start to say that to yourself. In, out. In, out. Another thing you can do as you're breathing in and out is just notice your body. Notice the heaviness of your bottom and your seat. Notice the heaviness of your feet on the floor. Notice the heaviness of your shoulders. Notice the breath as it comes in and raises your belly. And out, how it lets it go. And just notice those sensations. And notice how calm you start feeling. At least that's my experience. Okay, so come on back, open your eyes, and notice that the thoughts, as you focus on the breath, as you focus on your body in its position where it is, how there is less opportunity for those rapid thoughts that can come in our brain that go on and on and on, they kind of slow down and calm down. And what I notice when I do long meditations like that, where it's a breathing meditation, I took a class a while ago, many years ago, on meditation, and we actually had it after lunch, and that was really hard to do meditation after lunch. But we would sit there, and we would just breathe in and out. That was the class for an hour. And I would breathe in and breathe out, and I could be really comfortable and notice the breath in and notice the breath out. And then what would happen is after a few minutes, my mind started to wander, and it started to talk, and it started to talk. And then the quest of the group was to notice the thoughts and then go just back to the breath, because we knew the breath in and the breath out would move us into that body consciousness and out of that mind chatter. And then every time the thoughts started going on, we'd come back to the breath. So I want you to consider that, and I wanted us to do it together so that you could have the physical sensation of doing it, because it can be kind of tough for anything more than a couple of minutes. Sometimes some people, it's over a minute, boom, they just can't. The thoughts just go on and on. And what happens is that for emotional eaters, actually for everybody, we have these rapid thoughts that go on and on and on. And what the Buddhists call it is the monkey mind. And it's the chatter. That just goes on and on. And if you've ever been like in the rainforest or anywhere where there's lots of monkeys, you hear the chatter. And that's what goes on in our heads. And what happens in terms of those thoughts that I want you to start noticing and paying attention to is that there are often thoughts about food. What you want to eat, when you're going to eat it, when am I going to have lunch, what am I going to have for lunch, is there going to be enough, is somebody going to take what I want? And that thought can happen, the people that I work with and talk with, that thought can happen from wake up, you know, sunrise to sunset, or actually to bedtime. You know, from the time we get up until the time we go to bed, that chatter can go on and on. And for many of us, that chatter can be about food. And it can be about thoughts about food, thoughts about eating, thoughts about when we're going to eat, and thoughts about not getting enough, as I said a little bit a while ago. And that is what I call mental or head hunger, is where we have these just constant thoughts about food. And those can be very disconcerting because they go on and on. And for me, I don't know for you guys, but other people have told me too, is that they go on and on and on and finally go, oh, forget about it. I'm just going to eat because I need this head chatter to stop because it's going on and on. And you know, I've had it before. Just eat it. Just eat it. You know you're going to eat it. Just eat it anyway. Just have it. Just have it. Just have it. And it goes and chatters on and on and on. And so those thoughts about food, those thoughts about that head hunger, that mental hunger, can drive us crazy. Not crazy crazy, but just kind of can be really hard on us. The other thoughts that can happen in our head connected to emotional eating can be thoughts about our body. And I got to tell you, I just wrote a blog on it last night, but I am noticing a consistent pattern of people that I'm talking to that are coming in and talking to me, and they'll tell me straight up, they'll say, I hate my body. They use the H word, the hate word. And it's been catching me off guard because it's been such a consistent message that I've been hearing from people. And what they'll say to me is, I hate my body. I hate how I look. I hate that I'm fat. I hate that I'm obese. I hate my thighs. I hate my stomach, how it sticks out. And they'll begin to show me all the parts of their body that they think are unacceptable and how they don't like it. And it goes on and on, and the chatter can go on and on. It can go on and on when you're getting dressed. It can go on and on when you're eating. It can go on and on after you've eaten and when you condemn yourself for eating or overeating. It can go on and on when you're buying clothes. That's a really tough part, is buying clothes. It can go on and on when we're, oh, my God, at the beach in a bathing suit. It can go on and on when we're trying on clothes. I think I said that. Oh, and on if we're walking by a mirror. And I don't know if any of you have this, but this is, I still have a hard time. This is not my, you know, I'm not kind of complete on this one, is that, you know, looking at myself in the mirror when I'm walking by can be a little tough sometimes. And I can say mean things to myself. And I know others tell me that they can say mean things to themselves about the thoughts about their body. And the other thoughts that can come up are thoughts condemning ourselves, telling ourselves how bad we are, how we made a mistake, how we'll never get it right, how we'll never be good enough, how we're not okay the way we are. And it goes on and on and on. And you know, there's thousands of more things we say to ourselves. I'm just focusing right now on the thoughts that I know we talk about in terms of overeating. But it's a constant barrage in our head. And what I want you to know, and I'll keep repeating it and repeating it, is that these negative thoughts are not helpful. They will never, ever get you where you want to go. And they will not be the catalyst to make changes. Negative thoughts. We sometimes think, I can't say something positive about myself because it wouldn't be true. And so we allow these negative thoughts to go on unchecked. And we have the thought, and often we'll say them out loud too, like they're the truth. And they won't get you where you want to go. And what I know everybody that I work with, and those of you on the call, where you want to get to is peace with food, peace with yourself, have some semblance of normality around eating, and feeling okay in your body, and just feeling happy. Like, I just want to feel happy. But what happens is that these thoughts, they tell you endlessly what's bad. They tell you endlessly what's wrong, and we tend to agree with them. We tend to think, oh, I had that thought. It must be true. I thought I was heavy. I thought I was fat. It must be true. I thought whatever that, I thought I hate myself, so it must be true. I hate my body, so it must be true. But what I want you to know is that these thoughts, it's kind of like, I kind of talk like, about them like they're a person, and they're not, but they're kind of an entity that they keep you in your place. Not in your place. They keep you in place. They keep you stuck. They keep you stagnant. they're not helpful, except in they are helpful in the fact that they let you know that you're off track or that you're going off track. And by off track, I mean in beginning to engage in emotional eating or beginning to engage in anything that is not good for you. So what I want you to consider is to think of these thoughts as a clue that something's up. So if you're saying you hate your body, if your mind is saying it, and you might be saying it outside too, if your mind is saying it, consider that it's a call to action to do something about those thoughts, and that they're giving you a clue that your mind is going to a place that wants to keep you stuck. Some places they call it the ego mind, that part of the mind that wants to keep us stuck, that doesn't want us to move forward. And what we are working on in this group is to move forward and to get better, to feel better. So I want you to think about this idea that I like to share with people that kind of describes how I view these negative thoughts. And the way I think of them is a number line. And if you think of a number line, when you were in school, they had the integers where it's 0 to the positive and 0 down to the negative. And I think of it on the number line is that we kind of start at 0. And that every time we say something negative ourselves, we're moving down the negative line. We move negative. I say negative, 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 negative about myself. I move further down that negative line. And what we know from when we were kids in school is that the only way to get back to 0 is to say a lot, to do a lot of positive. Remember, if you had a negative number, you had to do equal to that to get a positive, to get to a positive, and then to get further beyond 0 to positive, you had to do more positive. So that's how I think of it, is all the negatives take us down to, let's just say we've gone down to a negative 10. And so think about it, you're at a negative 10 in terms of all the negative things you said to yourself. So what we have to do just to get to 0 is we have to do 10 positives, boom, 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 to get to 0. And that's just being at 0. And then what we need to do is to move out of that 0 is to move up into the positive. So positive, 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 until we get to well into the positive. And so I want you to consider that you don't have the luxury of a negative thought, because it takes you into that negative realm, which is where we don't want to go. Because those negative thoughts lead to the feelings that make us want to overeat. Those negative thoughts lead us to the feelings that want to make us overeat. So that's why this is important, is it's connected to overeating. It's also connected to just feeling good about yourself, because I can promise you is that anybody that is in that negative spot about saying negative things to themselves doesn't feel good. And I can promise you that as you move more into the positive numbers, as to the things that you think and say about yourself as being positive, the better you will feel about yourself. It just works that way. So it's clear, the more you move into the positive thought direction, the more you will have a handle on your thoughts, and then feelings, and then behaviors. Because those thoughts lead to the feeling that lead to the behaviors, which are what we're talking about at this moment, is overeating. It certainly matches with any other. I do this with people when they have anger issues, people when they have all kinds of issues. This works really, really, really well. So think about it, and think about how often you're saying negative things to yourself. And it might not be about your body all the time, and it might not be about, you know, the things that you can't have and what you can't do, but consider all the negative things you say to yourself. And the first starting spot to all of this, always, is notice it. And what I find happens for people is they often, until I bring this all up, they don't necessarily even know that they're doing it. They don't know that these thoughts are going on in their head. And these thoughts are really going on unchecked. It's the monkey's hat are ruling they're ruling your mind. They're just chatter, 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 and they're ruling, because when we allow that negativity then rules how we feel about ourselves and how ultimately how bad we feel about ourselves. So first, it would be that starting spot of noticing them. How do we do that? Part of it is paying attention. I like to do it where I just kind of begin to listen and kind of, you know, it'll happen to me sometimes. I mean, truthfully, like when I'm getting ready in the morning and like something negative will go in my head and I'll say something negative about myself inside my head and I'll go, whoa, Kim, not okay. You look cute. You look good. We're moving on. And I just move on from it. And I don't allow it to go unchecked. I kind of notice it and go, what's up? Why are you thinking that way? You look fine. Or if I don't think I look fine, what do I need to do to look fine? I'm in the mirror in the morning. It's generally about getting dressed and getting ready for the day. And so if I'm not feeling good, what do I need to do to start feeling good? Or saying things that are positive to myself. And that doesn't mean, so when we have these negative thoughts, that doesn't mean that, you know, if the thought is saying, oh, you're fat. That doesn't mean that the positive thought is then to say to ourselves, oh, I am thin. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. It's more saying things that are really true. Oh, you know, I look real cute today. I like my jewelry today. I'm liking what I have on my schedule today. I move into what's the positive about me, what's the positive about my life, so that then I can transform that negativity into a positive. Because remember, I want to go up on the positive side of that number scale. So it's noticing the thoughts, noticing what they're saying, and then finding a way to kind of counterbalance them. Because what I'm acknowledging in doing that is I'm acknowledging that they're not helpful, and I'm acknowledging that they're not real, and I'm acknowledging that they're made up. And I know you might argue with me and say, well, but Kim, I am fat. That is not the truth of who you are. That is not the truth of who you are. Who you are on the outside is kind of like the outer layer. Who you are on the inside is who I'm talking about. Who you are on the inside is what's important. And who are you really? Who are you really? Are you really the body? Or are you really who that person is inside of you? And begin to notice that. And that can be the challenge to that inner voice, that thought that's keeping you stuck. There are a lot of techniques. I'm sure many of you on the call already know a lot of techniques. And so I want you to consider using them. I want you to consider upping your game. There are a lot of great books that talk about it. One of my faves that I always talk with my clients about is I like The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. I think it was really good. For me, it was really a profound shift in my mind. And I know that there are hundreds of others. So use something that works for you. But one way to move out of these negative thoughts is to begin to read and hear what other people say about negative thoughts, ego thoughts, the thoughts that don't work for you, and how to move them out. One technique I like to use, and it's kind of like, you know, they don't have ticker tape anymore, but it's kind of like that the roll that they do at the bottom of the TV screen where they roll across information. And so I think of the thoughts as just kind of like rolling through my brain, kind of on the outside. They roll through, and then I roll them on out. I just let them move out, like just like they do across the TV screen, where they just move across. It's like, oh, okay, I hear there are these thoughts going on. They're negative. They're moving through. I'm just going to allow them to move through without an attachment to them, without any kind of needing to, you've got to be gone. You're trying to power it, overpower it. But just noticing. And then taking the breath as you notice it, taking the breath and letting them move on out and just not attaching to them. Because in reality, they're not true. And in reality, they don't mean anything. We've given them meaning. And so we're going to take away that meaning. Some of the tools I like to use and I advocate for using for these thoughts that go on and on and on is a couple of them, and they're kind of my foundational tools, and they really help with the negative thoughts and lessening the negative thoughts. One of them is meditation. And that's what we talked about kind of in the middle of this call is meditation. I like it because it gives me an amount of time where I'm calm and quiet and in my head. There are a couple ways to do meditation. One is just to do silent and do breathing in and out. Another way is to do it with music in the background. Another way of doing it is having guided meditation. And there are lots of different ways to do it. And I know some people who do find things like yoga is very meditative. So it's kind of a physical movement meditation. Tai Chi is very meditative. So it's a movement meditation. I'm looking at it on my phone as I'm talking to you. I also got on my phone this great app, and I have an Android, and I'm not sure that this works for iPhones, but there will be something equally fabulous for iPhones. But I have an app that's called Insight Timer, and I put it on my phone, and I love using it because it has a lot of options for meditation. One is just a gong starts, and then the quiet time goes for the amount of time I put in. So if I want to do it for 5 minutes, I'll put in 5 minutes, and there will be a gong at the start and then a gong at 5 minutes, so I'll know that it's over with. And I like that one because I can do it short and sweet and in between clients. I also like that they have guided meditations on my timer or my Insight Timer on my phone or the app. And I like that I can get an app or I can use it. Yesterday I didn't have much time, so I got a 10-minute meditation, and it was a guy talking me through breathing, which I really loved. And there are other ones where they'll do guided meditations where they'll take you to, you know, a nice quiet place. Or there are other ones that help you with your thoughts, and there are other ones that help you with sleep. So that's a great tool, is to get a timer or one of those meditation apps for your phone. So that's a really great takeaway that I use myself. Another tool that helps with these negative thoughts is using affirmations, positive affirmations. Positive affirmations are fabulous because they are what help move us, a key tool to help us move from those negative thoughts. Remember how I said we go down the number scale negative? Well, they're the things that help us move up into the positive. So if I'm saying negative things to myself and my head's going on and on about negative, I'll start saying positive. I'll say, I am kind, I am helpful, I am loving, I am wonderful. These are all things I believe about myself. And so I will say affirmations that I really believe about myself. And they won't be things that are things that I don't believe are true, but I really believe they're true. And what I do, and I encourage everybody to do, is to say them as much as possible. We want to get in that positive line, and we want to get up really high. So then if we ever have any negative come in, those negative thoughts, which do happen, we're human, they do happen. If we ever go down the negative, we'll have enough positive to keep us going. I think it really is our duty to ourselves to really honor and start telling ourselves how great we are and keep doing it over and over and over again. I do it. I have little songs that I sing. Maybe someday I'll tell you my songs. They're kind of goofy, but I have little songs that I sing to myself. I did it this morning. I was singing my little song, and it's an affirmation song, and I love it, and I just do it. I felt great this morning, and I just do my affirmation song when I'm feeling good, and I say my affirmations when I'm feeling good. I definitely say them when I notice negative thoughts coming in. I definitely, because those negative thoughts are a call to action. And one of the great ways to mitigate or to lessen those negative thoughts is to do affirmations. And the last thing I want to share with you, a tool to lessen negative thoughts, and this is, it always works, is journaling. And one of the journaling techniques that I love is Julia Cameron's journaling technique called Morning Pages. And Morning Pages is her technique, and I'm going to tell you then mine, how I change it up. But her technique is 3 pages, longhand, first thing in the morning, of stuff that's in your head. You write down everything. Oh, I thought about this. I thought about that. Oh, this is stupid. I hate having to write. This is stupid. And you write and you write and you write for 3 pages. It takes about 10 minutes. And what it is it's just getting all that crap in your head out onto the paper, so then it's off, kind of out of your head, off your plate, so to speak. It works really well. And what happens to some people that I talk to is they get a little resistant, and no, not resistant, it just doesn't work in the morning. Actually, it doesn't work in the morning for me. Given my schedule, it doesn't work in the morning. So I do it generally midday, and I'll just sit down, I'll take out my paper, 3 pages of longhand, and I'll do it during the middle of the day. Some of my clients do it at nighttime before they go to bed, because it's a great way to get the negative thoughts or any kind of thoughts that are weighing down on you, get them out of your head, put them on paper, and do it right before bed. And I have lots of clients who do that, who swear by it, who think it's just the best thing ever. And it gets the negativity out onto the paper. I don't encourage you to read it back, because it's just dribble. It's just stuff that isn't helpful. It's just getting it from your head onto the paper. It works if you do it. All of these things, meditation, affirmation, journaling, work if you do it. And it starts at the starting spot of noticing your thoughts, noticing the negative thoughts, acknowledging that they're not helpful, they're not real, that they're made up, and then doing something to either let them go, to counteract them. It's a very powerful tool, and it helps on all those areas we talked about earlier in terms of overeating and binging and the such. So what's good about what we're talking about today is it works when you're thinking about eating, when you're not thinking about eating, when eating's not even on the table. And it even works when you're feeling bad about yourself. All these things work all the time, consistent, to lower those negative thoughts. So I want you to consider this week that you can do it. You can start looking at those thoughts, and you can change them. You can move beyond them, and it can be a really powerful intervention. We are running up on time. I had a lot to talk about today. I want to check in really quick. I'm going to unmute everybody. And so if anybody has any questions, I'm going to make sure we get to some questions before we end. Okay, I unmuted you guys. So is anybody have any questions or anything they need kind of clarity on about what we were talking about today? Okay, no questions. Cool. I'm hoping it's making sense. I am really open to you guys checking in with me if there's something that's not making sense. Just email me back if there's something that's not working for you. I'll send out the recording a little later. Listen back as you need to. I'll send you out some things to do this next week that'll help you kind of work further on your thoughts. And I am just, once again, so appreciative of you guys being here, of you working on this. It is powerful to start looking at food and putting food in its proper place as nourishment in your life. And so I honor you all, and I wish you a great day, and I will talk to you later. Bye.